This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on the Green Hornet. Special edition iFanboy podcast. We're talking about the Green Hornet movie. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Connor.
And that's it.
So thanks for listening. Disappointment. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
We are from iFanboy. We normally talk about comics, but every once in a while we talk about comic book movies, and the Green Hornet is certainly one of those. We're going to talk about the film. It'll be spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, pause the show, come back. Or if you don't care, you want to be spoiled, it doesn't really matter. You can keep listening if you haven't seen it yet. Yeah. That's fine. The Green Hornet was, it's probably the, I guess it's the first big one we've had in a while, right? It seems like it's been a while since we've had a movie.
Well, yes, it's the, I mean, I don't know if it's a big movie considering it got buried in January, but it's the first, this is officially the first comic book movie of the year. This project has been maligned, is that the right
it's
way?
It's been in development hell for a while.
Yeah, I mean.
It's going to be Kevin Smith's first action film, which didn't happen.
Yeah, because he wussed out because he is afraid of his own success.
So he's doing that in the comic book for Dynamite right now. He's doing the story.
No, not even. The comic, I think the comic from Dynamite is adapted from his screenplay that he wrote that for the movie that never got made, and they're just adapting it to a comic. I don't think he's actively involved in that project at all.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's his story. The story that would have been is in the comic. Now, yeah. So if you're not curious.
And Dynamite's been, as part of leading up to the Green Hornet, Dynamite, who currently has the Green Hornet license, has been putting out a bunch of, I think Matt Wagner did like some like year one stuff.
Yeah, there's like six Green Hornet books, but it was interestingly, and this is, we're going off track already, but we saw the sales charts for the non-premiere books, and Green Hornet dominates them, so yeah. I guess it was a good pickup by Dynamite.
The thing is, for those youngins or those not in the know, the Green Hornet has been a property that's been around since what, like the 30s or 40s?
It was a radio drama originally.
Yeah, and conceptually, it's actually really kind of interesting that there's a fictional story link between the Green Hornet and the Lone Ranger.
I think the great grandnephew or the nephew, or depending on what era you're in.
But. Yeah, grandson, but it could be nephew. I think nephew is actually right. But so the idea being that the original Lone Ranger, his descendant, then becomes the Green Hornet, and the idea was like in the 30s or 40s, very pulpy, and the whole concept was there's this guy who ran a newspaper, and by night he and his chauffeur Cato. I wanted to make a pie face joke, but I couldn't. His chauffeur Cato would fight crime, and then he'd report about it in the paper, and that was the whole kind of thing. It went through the 30s and 40s. That it was, it had a bit of a resurgence. What, in the 60s or 70s?
And
when Bruce Lee portrayed Cato,
they showed up on the Batman TV show. They had their own short lived show.
Yeah,
there's a reference to Bruce Lee in the film. There's a reference to the Lone Ranger in the film.
Yep.
So eventually, this movie went through development hell. Kevin Smith dropped out.
a bunch of actors were rumored to play. It was going to be George Clooney for a while because he's attached to everything. He's playing the Lone Ranger, so that's strange.
Oh, there you go.
Nicolas Cage was going to be the villain, as he is with all the superhero movies. So came back around to Michel Gondry, the French director, was directing it, and he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. He did Be Kind, Rewind, a lot of really visually conceptual films.
He's done Bjork videos. He's done, right. Yeah, I mean, like, he's, and honestly, like, and that's the whole thing is that, like, I didn't realize Michel Gondry was directing it until, like, a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I was just like, still, I was in the theater this morning. I'm like, really? Like, I didn't believe it until I saw his name up there. But yeah, so Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, the writers of Superbad, wrote the screenplay. Seth Rogen starred in the film. He lost 30 pounds to portray Britt Reed, and away we go. What's funny is this movie is all over the map in terms of reaction.
Yeah.
The critics hate it. The cinema score is like an A. So the audiences on the whole have liked it. It's doing well at the box office. There's something else out right now. What's interesting is that when the trailers started coming out, I enjoyed the trailers because I think Seth Rogen's funny. And I think I like the Green Hornet. I like the classic, you know, properties, and Green Hornet's a classic property. And to me, I was going into it expecting a comedy action film.
Yep.
And I think that's what it delivered. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, and I think your expectations were probably met. I think what it boils down to is that a lot of it boils down to whether or not you like Seth Rogen, Michael Cera, but it boils down to whether or not you like Seth Rogen or not.
I think that's true.
That if you can't stand Seth Rogen, you're going to hate this movie because it is very much Seth Rogen.
There's a lot of Seth Rogen. How much Seth Rogen is too much Seth Rogen will be decided when you watch this film.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, so it sounds like you didn't hate it.
No, I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed myself. I'm seeing a lot of people, like you said, I've seen, you know, reactions across the map. I wouldn't say it was the greatest movie of all time. Wouldn't say that it was what I would expect from Michel Gondry. But
I thought in certain parts there was a lot of him in there.
We'll get that. And I know exactly what you're talking about. But and that was actually my favorite part of the movie. But I mean, it came together. I mean, it laid the story out fine. The balance of action and comedy and let's be honest, Seth Rogen and the guy who wrote it, the story isn't Dr. Zhivago, you know what I mean? It isn't the most compelling. I mean, it's a fairly linear story, and a couple of times you need to go, okay, fine, you know, and just move on with it, you know? But
let's talk about the story of the film is Britt Reed is the ne'er-do-well son of James Reed, who is a big media empire spearheaded by his newspaper, which is funny, considering the times. Which
they acknowledge.
Sure. Yeah, but yeah. He's the party animal. He doesn't, you know, he's a disappointment to his father. His father dies. Britt has to take over the empire and doesn't know what to do, and somehow sort of falls backwards into becoming the Green Hornet when he goes with his employee Kato to vandalize his father's statue, and they come across a attempted crime. They break up the crime because Kato's a badass.
Well, they also layer in early, like when they're establishing the character, they do a flashback of when Seth Rogen's character is a kid and he got into a fight at school and his dad admonishes him. But the subtle bit of that was that he was trying to help a girl who was getting bullied. So like you get this idea that there's this germ of wanting to help people with inside Seth Rogen's character. But he's spoiled. He has nothing. He's no motivation. He's rich. He's never had to work for anything. And so that's gotten that desire to help people has been pushed down by the partying. You know.
Sure. And I actually really like that aspect of the character because it made him different than most superheroes. He wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't your Superman. He wasn't even your Batman. He's sort of insecure and he's lazy and he's not very good at being a superhero. But he really wants to do good. It's just a matter of figuring out how. And I like the fact that he was kind of a jerk because he had to grow. And he started off as a jerk, and he's less of a jerk by the end, but he's still not your typical kind of superhero. Plus, the whole conceit of the Green Hornet is they pretend to be bad guys to the public while being good guys in secret. So he has to kind of be a kind of a jerk because that's the image of the Green Hornet.
Right.
And I like that aspect of it because it wasn't like every other superhero you see on the screen.
Exactly, which they acknowledge as well, too. They're very upfront. I mean, a lot of this stuff is very clear, and we're going to explain it to you to the letter of what's happening. I thought Kato stole the show.
Yes.
Absolutely. Basically, every scene with Kato, either Kato or the car and the tech involved, mm-hmm. were the scenes that you were waiting for.
Well, I could tell you you could tell from the trailers that Kato was going to be the fan favorite of the film.
Yeah,
He's the badass. He was charming. And the guy who played him, whose name I don't know because IMDb says it's John Cho, but it wasn't John Cho.
No way, does it?
Yeah, it does. He's a pop star in Asia, and he's really charming and funny, and he is the reason for the Green Hornet. He's the tech guy. He builds the car. He builds the weapons. He beats up most of the guys they fight. you know, Kato's a great role. Bruce Lee played him to much acclaim in it, you know, before. And,
yeah. Yeah. And like the humor between Seth Rogen and Kato was great. I mean,
they had a good repertoire.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, again, it goes back to whether or not you hate Seth Rogen. Like, I don't hate Seth Rogen. Like, I like him a lot. I've liked him since Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And what I like about him are the little asides, and like, so like when they're in their Green Hornet and Kato garb and they're fighting, you know, LA gangs and explosions are going off, and Seth Rogen just goes, "That was very dangerous." Like that. Like, I just laugh at every time when that happens.
You know, and that's sort of the vibe of the movie, which I enjoyed. It was kind of like normal guys placed in a situation. It wasn't like, you know, they didn't have any powers, although Kato kind of did, but not really. It's just, what if you and I put on a suit and went out and fought crime? That's kind of how it would go. Yeah.
With some badass tech in the car, which was so much, every time.
How badly do you want that car?
Every time Kato did something with the car, it was awesome and it was so cool. Villainous wise, the guy from Inglourious Basterds was in it, and it was
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, he was good, but I thought it was not as the villain. They didn't really think about the villain as much as they thought about Green Hornet and Kato.
Yeah, well, the villain is just sort of a means to.
Yeah, showcase. I mean. A means to an end, and yeah.
If you want to talk about things that I didn't think it did very well, one thing was at 1 minute shy of 2 hours, I thought it could have had 20 minutes cut out of it.
Yeah, yeah, I did have the moment where I'm like, oh, this is long. Yeah,
yeah, it was 2 hours, 119 minutes, which is now cool.
To address the 3D, 2D. Did you see it in 3D or 2D?
I had to see it in 3D because nothing near me had it in 2D.
Okay, I went to see it in 2D because I went with a bunch of snobs who found out that it was post 3D and therefore, you know, we didn't want to. And I thought some of you could tell what was done with 3D in mind.
Right.
Like the bottle opening scene, like that was okay. Like kind of cheesy 3D effects and that sort of thing. One thing I was shocked by was the wanton violence and killing and lack of morals by the heroes.
I wasn't, because this is an action film, and it's no different than John McClane or any of those other characters who kill their.
But I don't know. I just found it interesting that they never once said, oh, we're not going to kill and we'll be good or whatever. But the ultimate villain turns out to be the district attorney and whatever. Yeah. And as opposed to bringing him to justice, they just kill him.
Because they can't, because they've got no more evidence on him. Because as we know, sometimes when you interview somebody. The tape doesn't work.
Which I thought was really good.
So I laughed for my own personal reasons when it was blank.
Yeah.
But so they have to kill a district attorney because he knows, and he's a criminal, he knows who they are. But
yeah, I was just a little shocked that
this is a world where you have guns and the bad guys have guns.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to kill each other. And that's as long as you establish the rules of the world, which is, this isn't a superhero universe where, you know, people don't. But even the superhero universe, people get killed.
Yeah,
it's a world where the good guys have guns and the bad guys have guns, and it's no different than you take off the mask and you replace him with Bruce Willis, and it's Die Hard, and he.
Yeah,
you
know, it just shocked me. That's all. I mean, because I guess being so used to the superhero code and no killing and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I was like, oh, whoa, like it was that first gang fight in South Central LA when they pulled over and they got into the big gang fight, and then at the very end, Kato shot somebody in the head, and I was like, oh God, he shot. Got him. Yes. I thought that was weird. So the thing that we alluded to earlier is that there's at least one sequence where it looks like Michel Gondry got to be himself.
Yeah.
Which was when, at the very, very end, when Seth Rogen's character pieces everything together and realizes what's going on, which I just loved that whole sequence. I was just like, yes.
That was a great sequence. I really liked the way that they visualized Kato's powers.
Yeah, yeah.
And not powers, but his brain works, where he can... Yeah. He assesses danger, and then he processes slower than the rest of us, or faster, I guess, and then he takes people out. I like that. I liked – there's a couple of sequences that were sped up. I mean, there's a couple of visual touches. I mean, the end was really the most Gondry-esque, but there was a couple of things I liked. I really liked the way he shot the action.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he should shoot all the action in all superhero movies. Because you can kind of see everything that's happening without a problem.
When he ran across the car and the car like stretched long and like that sort of thing. Yeah, like I thought, that was kind of cool. But it was that piecing it together scene that was great.
Yeah, that was a really good
thing. That Gondry almost like collage style. And it was really, really good.
It was full of good gags. I mean, I laughed when he woke up after 11 days.
And fully
realized how his fault. I mean, there's a lot of funny bits in it, and there was... It was a comedy, I think, first, and then an action film second. So in that sense, it was successful. I think you didn't need Cameron Diaz's character at all, but they still need to. I mean, that's always the case almost with these movies. You have to.
Which I couldn't believe, and I couldn't believe that there was actually a joke about her age, and then she's saying that she's 36. I was like, that's a joke in a joke.
Well, the thing is, I forgot. She doesn't show up for like a third of the movie, and then she walked in. I went, oh, yeah, she's in. But like. They always feel the need to have to shoehorn in a female lead, you know, in the Batman films, and that superfluous female lead character, because they feel like they have to. So that was, she was barely in it. It wasn't really that big of a deal. The villain was okay. I mean, Christoph Waltz is really good. I love his first scene.
Yeah. The scene with James Franco, the James Franco cameo in the beginning was, I thought that was great. It's just that it was an irrational turn towards the end that was just like, all right, whatever. But but even then, that Seth Rogen comedy got in there. So basically, like Christoph Waltz's character is the, you know, the overlord of LA, the LA crime underground. And after the Green Hornet is striking and breaking down his empire, he flips and decides he needs to become a villain. So he becomes, you know, like with a blood theme. And wears a red jacket. But what cracked me up was when they got to the newspaper at the big climax scene, he puts on the gas mask. And the DA is like, "You brought a gas mask?" And he's like, "Yes." And he's like, "Only one?" Like, it was like that was like these little throwaways. There was a lot of little throwaway lines that made me laugh, that had me laughing. Yes. That played up to the comedy aspect of it.
I also really wanted Edward James almost to give an inspiring speech to the newspaper staff.
Yeah. Oh, Adama.
He's still acting. Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. I mean, the audience I saw liked it, although it was shockingly full of people under the age of 12 for.
Oh, interesting. Well, I saw it in a fairly moderately, not packed, but not empty theater. There were 4 walkouts, but there were also 3 points where people broke into applause.
Oh yeah, no, the audience applauded the credits at the end, which I really like. Also, the credit sequence.
The credits was really cool. Yeah.
It was fairly basic. Were they using the same font we use sometimes?
They might have. Yeah, I recognized one of those fonts. Yeah.
But I really liked the way they put it together and the names came up with their roles, and I thought that was really neat. It was a good time at the movies. It may be a little long, but I had a fun time. I laughed. And,
It was. I mean,
I don't love 3D. I've only seen three 3D films: Avatar, Set Up 3D, which was the greatest 3D film of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this one, which is the post, the only one that was post, you know, processed to be 3D.
So. Well, I mean, that's really what it boils down to, whether like it's Avatar where it's shot with 3D in mind or the post 3D stuff. You know,
but I have no choice.
Apparently Thor is post 3D, but the way they're marketing it, they're like in some select 2D theaters. You know what I mean? Like they're really pushing I don't know, whatever.
Of course they are, because the tickets are higher priced. Yeah. I want to pay a premium for 3D, but I'll pay a premium to not go to a film with anyone under the age of 18 in the theater.
I think that's fair. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I will pay $20 to see a movie without anybody in this other age.
You should move to San Francisco. The Kabuki is 21 and over, and there's a bar.
I would go to that theater all the time.
Yeah. So,
but the Green Hornet, I had fun. It was fun. If you're looking for an action comedy, if you don't want to, you know, it's not The Dark Knight and it's not Iron Man, but it's a funny movie that's more action than your normal superhero film. It's more of an action film with, you know, masks.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, you know, street level crime kind of comic booky pulpy kind of stuff. But now, it wasn't awful. It wasn't. I'm not absolutely waiting for the sequel or, you know what I mean. Like,
we've seen a lot of these movies over the years. We've done a lot of these shows, and I've seen so many more worse movies than this. And I was like halfway through thinking, I mean. Yeah, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but I have no idea why people would hate this movie.
It was better than Punisher.
Unless you hate Seth Rogen, I see no reason to hate this movie.
Yeah, it was better than Punisher.
Well, yeah. I see that movie come up in the like the on-screen guide sometimes, and I go, go away.
So, all right, cool. Well, interesting. So we both liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Jay Chow, that's the guy's name.
Yeah, not John Cho, IMDb.
Yeah. Bastards.
I'm going to take a screen cap of this in case they change it.
Yeah. So, cool. So it looks like the next movie technically is Priest, but are we going to see that?
Oh.
Probably not. I don't know. It's in March. Maybe. I don't know. I've never read the book, so I feel as if I shouldn't. I don't know. It's like it's based on a manga, I think.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So the next one won't be till May for Thor.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a long way.
Yeah. So we got a quick look at this year. We got Thor in May. The movie that no one will be talking about, X-Men First Class in June. Even Marvel, by the way.
We've heard nothing about that movie.
Nothing. Marvel's not supporting it at all.
Isn't it Matthew Vaughn?
Yeah, it's Matthew Vaughn, yeah.
It's going to be good.
I think it's going to be good. Then Green Lantern in June, Transformers in July, Captain America in July, Cowboys and Aliens in July. That seems to be it. That's scheduled.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Cool. So if you've seen Green Hornet, you want to talk about it, go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a discussion under this show. There'll be somewhere on the website. There'll be a place to find it. Or just check out our other weekly show. We talk about the weekly books and our video show and all that stuff. Go to ifanboy.com. Check it out. Yep. And that's all that fun stuff. So Green Hornet doesn't have a catchphrase. I can't go out in anything. So
no, nothing. Just like so, yeah.
Until next time.
Yeah.
I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.